Hey, it's Eric G. Around the House is sponsored by Baldwin Hardware. For 75 years, Baldwin Hardware has been known for its first-class quality and craftsmanship in door and cabinetry hardware. As an alumnus of the Baldwin Hardware Design Council, I can say I have seen the details and quality from design to the finished product. If you're looking for a new style and old-world craftsmanship, I can tell you there is only one Baldwin Hardware. Check out what would look great in your home at baldwinhardware.com. Support for Around the House with Eric G is brought to you by Manscaped, who's the best in men's below-the-waist grooming. Manscaped offers precision-engineered tools for your family jewels. They obsess over their technology developments to provide you the best tools for your grooming experience. Manscaped is trusted by over 2 million men worldwide. We have an exclusive offer today for my listeners. 20% off plus free shipping with the code DIY at manscaped.com. Now, Manscaped hooked me up with a bunch of tools and formulations from their Perfect Package 3.0 kit. Manscaped has created the best hair trimmer ever, the Lawnmower 3.0. Their third-generation trimmer features a cutting-edge ceramic blade to reduce grooming accidents thanks to their advanced skin-safe technology. In addition, this trimmer comes with an LED light for more precise shave and is waterproof to make your shower shave clean and easy. Now, of course, you don't use the same trimmer you use on your face. That's just nasty. The Lawnmower 3.0 comes inside their brand new Perfect Package 3.0, which comes with everything you need to keep trimmed, cut-free, and smelling nice down there. The Manscaped Perfect Package 3.0 also includes the Crop Preserver, an anti-chafing ball deodorant and moisturizer. You already put deodorant on your armpits. Why not putting deodorant on the smelliest part of your body? And yeah, that stinks. Speaking of sweaty and stinky, I'm thankful for their Crop Reviver. This product, along with the Crop Preserver, keeps you from sweating, smelling, and sticking. Hey, it's that time of year, right? Manscaped threw in two free gifts into their Perfect Package. A pair of high-performance Manscaped boxer briefs that'll keep you feeling fresh all day, and a travel shed bag to store all of your grooming goodies. You gotta have a shed for the tools, right? So, keep yourself clean and trimmed up. Now, get 20% off free shipping with code DIY at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com. And use code DIY. Unlock your confidence and always use the right tools for the job with Manscaped. Now, finally, let's get to the show.
Everybody, stop what you're doing, please.
When it comes to remodeling and renovating your home, there is no better show on your radio. This is Around the House with Eric G.
Where's the hammer?
From your back fence to the sidewalk, Eric will tell you how to keep it all in tip-top shape while helping you save a buck while doing it. If you like DIY projects, it takes a lot of practice to get good at it, and Eric is here to guide the way.
Is it on the, go up on the other floor. Somebody go up there and stop the hammering.
All that and more on the fastest 2 hours of home improvement radio.
These are the wrong plans. These are the old plans.
Oh. Welcome to
Stop It! Stop
Around it. The House with Eric G.
Welcome to Around the House with Eric G. This is where we talk home improvement every single weekend. Thanks for joining us. Well, today I wanted to talk about a subject that slips people's minds. It's technology you didn't even know you had within your home. And today we've got a special guest, Steve Meyer, VP of Xfinity Flex. Now, the cool thing with this is if you're buying an internet service out there, there's some things I bet you don't even know you have. It came with your package. Steve, welcome to Around the House, brother.
Hey, it's great to be here. Thanks, Eric.
You know, I was talking with one of my friends over with your organization, Amy, and there was some stuff that you guys do that I wasn't aware of. I mean, I'm a, you know, full disclosure, this is not a paid segment. I am an Xfinity paying customer, and it works well for me. But you guys have a whole program with Flex, and I think there's a lot of people in my listening audience that have no idea it's something that they have that they can get. Let's talk about that today.
Yeah. You know, Xfinity Flex is something that we launched last year, and it's really in response to what we've seen happen among our customers and their viewing habits. More and more people are turning to apps first when they're looking to find content, whether it's Netflix or finding a show on Prime or Hulu. Those apps are now part of everybody's how they watch television. And we've had our product in market for a long time, which we call X1, kind of the best entertainment solution for folks who like traditional TV, you know, the hundreds of cable channels, your DVR. And we've introduced apps to X1, but we realize that there's a really growing segment of people who are like, you know, that doesn't fit what my household watches. I'm more leaned into apps. So we launched this product called Flex, which is really tailored towards people who are streamers. And what's really amazing, and you set it up in your intro, is you get a free device with your internet, Xfinity internet subscription. It's a pretty powerful device. It's a 4K streaming box. It has a lot of memory, so that's fast and snappy. It's really equivalent to some other boxes that are out in the market right now that are, you know, $50, $60, $70. You get one of these devices free as an internet customer.
And I'll be honest, all of it. Yeah, I have other boxes in my house, and Amy sent over this Flex for me to play with, and I'm an X1 customer. This is the fastest box I've ever seen, and that was always my problem with using some of these streaming boxes, is that they tended to lag a little bit. You'd hit next, and you're like counting to 7 for it to change. And this is much more like using a cable box than it is any kind of a streaming box as far as how it functions.
Yeah, thanks, Eric. I mean, we really wanted to make this the best streaming experience for our customers. And we know this is, look, one thing that we've learned from the last year in terms of, you know, the different need states, the first thing everybody needs is oxygen and is followed by water. But I think in the last year, maybe internet has jumped ahead of water in terms of.
And even wine. You
know? Yeah, exactly. So people are getting broadband, and one of the main reasons to do it is to stream video. Now, granted, the last year has opened up us being on Zoom and Teams, and so there's that aspect of video. But the entertainment part of it is really the big driver and big use case for why people are streaming. And we really came with the realization, we had a great experience with X1. How do we make it even better for streamers? And so we've introduced some things that I think are unique and differentiated about Flex. For example, the voice remote. I don't know if you've used it, but you can just say things like Netflix or say something like Yellowstone, and it will jump you right into the app or jump you right to the series or movie, and you can just start playing. So it cuts through a lot of time that you might have to do navigating around. And particularly if it comes to movies, it's Friday night, and you're like, I don't know if you're like what happens in our house, but it's like, what are we going to watch? Maybe we agree we're going to watch a comedy. And then in some of the other devices, it may be 20 minutes where you're scrolling through menu and menu. With Flex, you can just say comedy movies, and it will pull together movies that are on a bunch of different services and display them to you in one menu. So you can see a movie that's on HBO right next to a movie that's on Netflix right next to a movie that's on Prime.
And that's how I use that voice remote as well, because I can't remember, to be honest. My evenings are my TV time, but I can't remember what's on Netflix this month and Hulu next month or HBO right now. So I will put the title out there, and then it gives me the choices of where I want to view that. And that makes it so much easier than spending 20 minutes of surfing just to find it.
Yeah, I think that's, you know, if you went back a few years ago in the streaming world, I think most people who would look to Netflix and be like, you know, Netflix has got so much content. But what's happened over the last couple of years is so many more services coming to market with great collections of content. And it is hard as a consumer to know what is where. You know, everything from what movie is in a different location to what show, a show like The Office or Friends, all the way to sporting events that you probably didn't realize things like some NFL games are streaming on different services. On Prime Video, you can watch Thursday Night Football. One of the wild card games is on Peacock. So we're using our editors at Flex to actually go through all of the different shows that are premiering, movies that are coming out across all these different streaming services, and we're putting them together into what we call a streaming calendar so that you can just see, here's what's coming out this week. You don't have to try to figure it out yourself or keep track of all of the different industry moves that are happening. It's just right there in Flex. So, you know, that's how I found out that King Kong versus Godzilla came out, and I was able to watch it the night it came out. So it's pretty interesting.
That's cool. You know, I'm a home improvement guy, and I actually didn't change the channel on the first few days of Flex because I always loved this old house, and I started looking around, and I think it was Tubi or one of those popped up with the This Old House channel, and it's just This Old House 24/7, and I got sucked into that, and I didn't change the channel for a couple days when I had that TV on because I'm like, oh, cool, let's watch this one.
Yeah,
and
you know, it's crazy. It's interesting, Eric. You're mentioning a service called Xumo, which is really
there we go.
We really put it closely into Flex, and that's another really interesting development that I don't think a lot of people realize is the rise of a lot of free streaming channels that have come out that are really similar to what you just described. The This Old House channel, the one I watch is the Bob Ross channel.
Nice,
which is just nothing but painting.
There's a Bob Ross channel? That's epic.
Yes, it's on Peacock, and it's just, you want to like soothe out for like 25 minutes. It's just great. And so, but these are all free channels. They have ads in them, but they're all free. And Xumo has, I think, about 200 free channels. Sometimes they'll even have sports like, I was able to watch some early rounds of a PGA golfing event that's free, that's streaming on these channels. So if you haven't been paying a lot of attention to what's going on in the entertainment space, it's just really changing rapidly. There's many more options. There's many more free options, but it can be really confusing. It's no longer like, hey, I'm just turning on the TV and flipping through channels. You got to navigate the world of apps and all these different content changes. And that's why we really thought that Flex was timed perfectly to help customers kind of navigate this new world.
Yeah, and you can even, a little self-promotional plug here, you can even be listening to this show on Spotify or Pandora on the Flexbox. Yes. So,
yeah, we have a number of music apps. You can link your Spotify account or your Pandora account, but also a ton of podcasts. And this is another really interesting thing that we've recognized is a lot of folks, like, you can do a ton on your phone, but you know, while you're using your phone, like listening or watching, sometimes you actually want to use your phone while you're listening or watching. So the TV in many cases for music may have the best speakers in your house. And so you can quickly put on a music station. That's another thing I do often is just put on, a jazz station and have it playing in the background from my television. So these are all things that are innovations that are happening in the streaming space, and we're really showcasing them and making them accessible on Flex.
Well, and it's smart. You know, I've got my TV is not the newest of TVs. It's probably 4 years old. Nice one. It's, you know, it's a quote-unquote smart TV, but it's not near as smart as the new stuff. But I like streaming concerts. When concerts are doing live, like we'll see a concert that one of our favorite bands is doing a free live stream, and I jump over to YouTube to watch it. You can watch that on this, and it takes me 20 minutes to get my TV to get, as I'm trying to use the query keyboard to try to put in the thing, you can just go over to this and boom, you're there. And it's so easy compared to even technology from a couple years ago.
Yeah, the integration with YouTube is pretty amazing. And, you know, I think people have thought in the past of YouTube as, you know, cat videos or, you know, silly short form things. But there's an ocean of programming available on YouTube. And increasingly, people are watching it on their television, not on their phone. And just like you said, like I'm from Pittsburgh originally. I'm a Steelers fan. And so I'll just say Pittsburgh Dad on YouTube. And this is a guy that does kind of like funny after game recaps, and it just pulls it up right on the TV, and I don't have to don't even have to do any typing. It goes right to his page and right to the latest episode.
See, that's awesome. And I mean, it's funny because when I first got this, I'm like, oh, it looks like just the regular TV box. This is going to be, you know, there'll be a few things to stream here and this will be cool. And you guys are not paying me to say this, but I was shocked at how deep the programming is on this, because you've got Disney Plus, and I think I saw that you guys were coming out with Discovery Plus 2, I think, or it's already out.
We just in the last few weeks, we launched Disney Plus and the ESPN app.
Nice.
Which has ESPN Plus, but it also has a lot of, particularly if you're a fan of college sports, a lot of free college sports events from maybe not the biggest college sports, but a lot of local teams and games, particularly in basketball and football. And then last week we launched Discovery Plus. As you know, comes with a ton of HGTV content. If you're into DIY, the other really big value add, I think, that I have to bring to your attention and to your listeners' attention is that Peacock is included with Flex. And I don't know if everybody's familiar with Peacock, but this is an app that has been launched by NBC and the NBC cable channels, but it really is bringing an enormous amount of content that's all free. Everything from big shows like Yellowstone to remakes like Saved by the Bell, but also, you know, almost every match from the Premier League. WWE has brought, they had their own app. They brought all of their content into Peacock. So WrestleMania was free this last weekend for anybody who is a Peacock subscriber, and it comes with Flex. No additional cost. You don't have to pay for it. It comes with, so with Xfinity Internet, you're getting a free box, a free voice remote, and you're getting free Peacock Premium, which we just think, you put all that together, it's just an incredible value. And Peacock has all these live streaming channels. Parts of the Olympics are going to be in Peacock. So it's just, I think that to me is one of the main reasons. And I think our customers have said, hey, I have a streaming box, I have a streaming solution, but I'm going to try out Flex. And man, similar to what you said, Eric, tons of programming here, all the apps I expect, but also the value of getting Peacock for free. It's got every episode of The Office.
Modern Family, Chicago Fire. I'm trying to think else. Yeah. What else I watch on there? I think Parks and Rec. There's a lot of stuff on there.
Yeah. So, that's the kind of my pitch or whatever of why we think it's a great value for Xfinity customers who, to your point, maybe didn't realize that this was something that came with their internet service.
So if they've got your internet service now, and you know, you guys are, I think, are the largest provider out there across the country, which is one of the reasons why I have you guys on here. If they've got the streaming service and they need to get this, they just need to call customer service and get set up with this?
Don't even need to call. You can just go online, xfinityguts.com/flex. You can order the box. We ship it right to your house, or you can pick it up from one of our Xfinity stores. No cost to ship to you. So it's free shipping. And if you want to stop by our store, you can get it that day.
It's really easy
to set up.
Yep.
Really easy to set up. It's, you know, the setup is just a few minutes. Really, it's plug it in, connect it to the internet, and you're going.
I was shocked. It's super quick. There's not a quicker piece of technology in hooking up. You're plugging it in, you know, hooking up to the TV, and once you get that internet connection, it's there.
Yeah, and if you have Xfinity Internet, and you're using one of our gateways or one of our modems, it's even faster. It immediately connects you to that modem, and you don't have to go through even putting through your Wi-Fi passwords or any of that. It just auto connects, and you're up and going.
That is awesome. Stephen Meyer, VP of Xfinity Flex. Brother, thanks for coming on and explaining this today. I think this is a great value for people out there. Like we talked about, it's technology they didn't even think they had.
Thanks so much, Eric. I really appreciate it.
Now, don't touch that dial. We have so much more of Around the House with Eric G coming up. We're going to be talking with Aaron from Brilliant about his home technology company and what it can do around your house. And that's pretty spectacular. Now, we got so much more ahead. And make sure you hit us up on social media, Around the House with Eric G. You can hit us anywhere, including on Clubhouse. Look me up. We'd like to put you in the conversation. We'll be back after these important messages.
Hey, this is Ron Keel, the metal cowboy from Keel, the Ron Keel Band and Steeler. We are rocking Around the House with Eric G. Raise your
fist! Welcome back to Around the House with Eric G, your home improvement source every weekend. Thanks for joining us. Make sure you look us up on Facebook, Around the House with Eric G, or join our closed group, Around the House Nation. Now, let's jump out here to Aaron Emy. He is the CEO and founder, co-founder of Brilliant. Now, Brilliant is a great technology brand for your home. And let's dive out into this conversation. Let's see what they've been up to. You know, it's been a year or two since they've been on the show. Let's play some catch up with Aaron from Brilliant.
What's going on with Brilliant these days? I mean, I'll be honest, I love your switch. And I'm not just saying that because you're sitting here. It is the one thing that I can put in under 5 minutes in my house and not have to worry about as many compatibility issues as I have with everything else out there. So to me, it's brilliant. And I like the name with that because it fits well. But what else is going on out there? And I guess probably we should talk about, since I've had it for years in my house, let's jump back and discuss what Brilliant really is.
Yeah, I mean, Brilliant is a smart home control that installs into the walls of your house, but it does it much more easily than anything else that's ever been installed because it just replaces standard light switches. And it gives you a touch panel and you can control all of your devices in the house. If someone's at the doorbell, rings the Ring doorbell, you see the video on the wall, you can tap to unlock the lock and let them in the door. You can see your playlists on Sonos, you know, whatever devices you have, it unifies them all together and gives you a user interface for them. And then it also builds in Amazon Alexa so you can give it voice commands as well.
Absolutely. It's great. And there's a lot of things I like about it. And I've even taken it as far as loading pictures up into it. So each one of them has the little, you know, different pictures that I've loaded up on it. And I love it because it's so intuitive and easy to use as a user. From my side of things, I've got like the double light switch by the door that controls the front porch light and the entry light. And if I don't use my phone to control it and I just want to turn it on real quick, I can just touch it and use it like a regular light. But there's also this beautiful display there as well.
Awesome. Well, thank you. I'm glad it's working that way for you. That's exactly what we aimed at is, you know, smart home is really complex, especially when you put a few different devices into the house and it doesn't have to be. And what's more, as it's becoming something that everybody has or wants in their house, it has to be simple and it has to be something that everyone in the house can use. And as long as you're talking about apps on a phone and stuff like that, it's not going to be something that everyone can use because not everyone's going to have the apps installed. Not everyone's going to figure out how to use them and you're going to have house guests that don't have anything and so on. So it really kind of takes it from the usual thing where there's one person in the house who loves smart tech and is putting a bunch of stuff in and loves it. And then
That's everyone else
hates it, you know, and it democratizes. It makes it so everyone who's in the house can use it. You know, that's really what we're aiming for. So I always love to hear that it's working for people.
Well, and I love it. I've tried a lot of things out here. Cause I do a lot of speaking for the National Association of Home Builders and all that stuff. And so we have a lot of fun with that on that home tech stage, but I'll be honest, there's a couple products that I actually got that I was going to talk about, but I couldn't get it to work for the presentation. So they didn't even make it. And these are common brands. And then I've got other switches that I've got in my house too, that like the other lights that are in front of my garage that I don't have on the Brilliant switch. I followed all the directions to use the right light bulbs that they wanted me to use and everything else. In the middle of the night, one night, it looks like I got a rave going out in front of my house because it's just madly flickering off and on like it's some warning light. So I love not having compatibility issues like that with your product. And it's set it, forget it, and it works really well.
Yeah, no, thank you for that. And that's something we really aim for with all the integrations we do. They're deep integrations where we really work closely with the partner and make sure they work right. Because we've had that same situation come up a couple times where there's a product that we're, you know, talking to a company about doing an integration with, and I put it in my house and just can't get it working. And, you know, so, what we try to do is have an ecosystem of devices that all work together. And it's most of the major companies in each category of device, but you know that it's going to work together cohesively as part of the system. And I think that's important.
It's really important. And I love it because, you know, I've really over the years have depended on smart home hubs, right, to do that. And you've got a product that kind of mimics that in a way, even though it's not its own smart home hub, it kind of is, because now it's letting things talk to each other and I can control a lot of things through that without having to get into my smart home hub app on my phone. I can just be touching the screen and using it.
No, that's exactly right. You know, the smart home hubs solve the integration layer problem in terms of getting the devices to be controlled, but they don't solve the user experience problem, which is how is that control actually accomplished? Because, you know, again, if you got a mobile app and that's you, the main way you're controlling the home, that's weird. You know, you've always just been able to walk into a house and use the house for the whole history of houses. And suddenly in the last few years, like we're going through this period of temporary insanity where in order to use a house, you have to have the right apps installed and you have to have permissions set up and all this kind of stuff. I don't think that's tenable. I don't think that's the way that houses work. You really just want to be able to use the house. So having that right in the wall really is a magical difference maker.
Well, and then you guys have done a really great job, I think, of integrating with other products as well, like you were talking about. I mean, it seems that you're always growing with those things. You know, there's, you know, you're adding this new product here and there as they come out. And I know that's half of it is just you guys working with other companies and having the other companies wanting to work with you. So it's got to be kind of a tough one to battle, just trying to get those integrations, because you could say, I'm going to go work with company X, but you might be on a waiting list with them for a while.
Yeah, fortunately, all these companies have been very receptive to what we're doing. And I think they like the user experience that we're creating. But still, in order to create a really good user experience, there's an investment that's required in both the integration and in the testing and so on. But yeah, I mean, since we last spoke, you know, we've had a lot of new devices that we've integrated with. So, you know, we've renewed the relationship with Google Nest. So we support them now. We work with Apple HomeKit. We have the Genie garage door openers. We work with Kwikset and Schlage, but, you know, we've dramatically expanded the line of smart locks that we've worked with. We've gone into apartment buildings with a series of integrations for that market. So there's been a whole lot of that. And then in addition to that, we've also launched our own product lines around smart lighting. So now, in addition to the Brilliant Control, which is that unification and control platform, we have the smart dimmer switch, which has occupancy-based lighting. And it's a really nice, but very inexpensive smart lighting, smart switch. But it also has a really unique capability where you can actually run the home automation scenes from it, even though it doesn't have the microphone and the screen for cost reasons. Because what we realized, like if you're in the bedroom, you're going to run the good night scene that turns off all the lights and turns down the temperature and locks the doors. You know, you do the same things from the same places, so you can just kind of double tap on a Brilliant switch and it'll do the right thing. And then we also launched a smart plug, which lets you do area lighting and stuff like that. It's a nice complementary product. So we've been increasing our product line as well as increasing the core capabilities of the Brilliant Control itself.
Yeah, that's nice, because I don't need to have, you know, as much as I absolutely love the look of the Brilliant Control, I don't need to have that in every room of the house, you know, and but I don't need to have it.
Yeah, you don't want a screen everywhere. I mean, honestly, you know, even in the install I did in my house, I think I have 6 Brilliant Controls in my living room / kitchen area. It's all on open. Yep. And, you know, we designed it to look harmonious and not stand out like a sore thumb on the wall. But still, that's a lot of screens in a room. So, you know, I if I were to redo that now, I'd put the dimmer switch in several of those locations just to have a couple of screens where it makes sense to have them. But the screens, you mentioned earlier, you uploaded some pictures to yours. Actually, 2/3 of the people who have Brilliant Controls have uploaded custom family photos and vacation pictures and stuff like that to them. So it kind of turns that little screen into an actual positive design element in the house rather than sort of an ugly piece of alien technology stuck to the wall. So that's a nice thing to personalize.
It's fun. And, you know, you just create a little album on there and off you go. And it's first time I did it, Julie, my wife, came home and goes like, oh, that's cool. And all of a sudden it turned into an art piece versus, you know, with fun, memorable photos in it. And the other thing I like doing with it too, that's kind of handy, is I love the camera feature on there. You know, I've got two by the front door so I can see what the dogs are doing if I'm out of the house.
Nice, nice. Yeah, my fiance is always checking around, keeping track of the cats on the cameras. You know, so yeah, it's got the camera built in. You can use that for remote video monitoring. It's got a baby cam feature, so if you got a sleeping baby in another room, you can keep an eye on it. And then it's also got a video intercom capability, which is nice in larger homes, particularly like multi-story houses where you have to shout really loudly to say, hey, we're all leaving, you know, come downstairs or dinner's ready. And then there's also like a whole home announcement feature where you can just do an audio announcement through the house.
So that's cool. Yeah. My house is not near enough that size, but I think I'm still scarred from that 70s Newtone, you know, intercom we had when I was a kid. Cause we had a 4,000 square foot house and I had three brothers, and the voice of God, which was my mother yelling at us, would come screaming through the entire house. So
some things never change.
What are you boys doing? Uh-oh. She's on to us.
So, now with the camera, she doesn't have to ask, right?
that'd be the worst part. It's like, man, I'm happy I didn't have cameras back then. That would have been a whole other problem. But
that's why we put a privacy shutter on ours. You could just move that little, slide that little piece of plastic right over. It's built into the unit.
That is one of the funnest things I like about that, because, you know, privacy is always one of the first objections that people have when they don't know about a product, you know. And it's funny, I keep telling people when I run into them, they're like, oh, I don't want that privacy. I'm like, you know, your biggest privacy concern is actually your password into anything. You know, a lot of these products are really hard to get into, but you're the one that lets them in. If you write password 1234 is your password, guess what? That's you letting them in. It's not the product's problem.
Yep. No, that's true. And I mean, it's also true that there have been some products that haven't been designed from the bottom up with security in mind. And that's one of the things that we did right from the beginning. I used to be a cybersecurity guy, and I did a bunch of work for the Department of Homeland Security and other places. And, you know, to really make a secure product, you have to think of it from the earliest stages of the design and really bake it in, rather than kind of going, okay, now everything's working, now release it. Now, oh, we have this security problem. Oh, we have that security problem. Yeah, you have to think carefully, most of all, about what it is that you're actually trying to prevent. And you'd be surprised how many companies I came into as a consultant, that would be the first question I'd ask, and they wouldn't actually know. You know, they'd say, we know we're not secure. I'm like, right, what is it you're trying to prevent people from doing? Like, we never really defined that.
Yeah, that's amazing. My little brother, he works nationally for one of the national labs, kind of a pseudo government thing. So he works with that as a security expert as well for one of the national labs out there. So he does that same kind of thing. And his security clearance doesn't tell me exactly what he does, but that's his role of what he does out there. But same kind of thing. He's shocked about, you know, he'll sit there even and tell me, maybe if you're getting into really big meetings, don't even take your phone into that, you know? So there's a lot of little things I've learned with him on that stuff.
Well, this is one of the interesting things. Like, some people express concern about having a voice assistant, for example, like, well, you know, what's happening here? And, you know, to be clear, all of the major voice assistants work in the same way, where they're not sending audio up. They're just listening in for you to say Alexa or, you know, Siri, whatever. There it is going off there. You can't talk.
I know. I had mine muted because I've done this so many times on the radio. I'm like, mute. I had somebody get mad that I ordered him a pizza because I was talking about ordering a pizza on the radio show using Alexa, and I got a message going, thanks for ordering me that pizza, man. And I'm like, oops, sorry.
That was like that famous time when you know, thousands of people accidentally bought that dollhouse but what I was going to say is the way they all work is they're not sending your recordings up anywhere until you say that magic word. And then as soon as you say that magic word, then there's a period of time where they're streaming it up. But, you know, people are concerned about it, and they go, well, I have something in my house that has a microphone now, like, you know, that could be dangerous. What if somebody hacks it? You go, okay, you know, what would be worse than that is if you had something that was a programmable, the computing device with software installed on it that had a microphone built into it that you carried with you everywhere you went. Like no one's worried about the microphone on their cell phone. So, but what it really is a question of have people used it and understood the value of it. Like we understand the value of a smartphone. So, you know, we have trust in the companies that are making them, and we believe that they're secure, but also we know that it's really valuable. And I think those people who have really used voice assistants a lot, used smart home tech a lot, they've experienced the value that's there. And they've, you know, maybe taken the time to look into the companies and make sure that they're reputable as well. But when you know why you want it, then, you know, it's a lot easier to make an assessment. Whereas if you go, I don't want that stuff. And anyway, you know, I wouldn't want a microphone, you know, then it's a lot easier to feel that way about it. So I think that that's more than anything else, a measure of whether people have really kind of embraced smart home or not, but it's coming. Yeah. In the near future, every home is going to be smart.
I just went the even farther and added that thermosol steam shower system in my house. So I have a digital LCD screen that I run my shower through. There's no valves. I can listen to XM satellite on it. I can, you know, whatever, you stream Netflix in there, turn the steam on. So I'm getting pretty advanced in the smart home tech stuff. But, you know, my wife's been very, very scared of it to start with, but man, she loves it. The more she is getting into it, she's, you know, she's, when she's cooking, she's using, you know, Alexa to set a timer, you know, all those just little things we used to do. That make things, it just stuff that makes you easy around the house. And so that's what's cool about having, you know, the Alexa on yours as well, is that that gives you that option that if it doesn't grab the one near, it can grab that one too when you've got it in there. So we're in the house, you've got multiple microphones to be able to use that feature.
Yeah, that's something Amazon's done nicely, is they have a pretty sophisticated system when multiple devices pick up the what you're saying to direct it to the right one. And that's particularly nice when you have a device like the Brilliant Control that gives you a visual response as well. So if you ask what the weather is, it'll show you the weather forecast. You can scroll around on it. If you, you know, ask for an informational query and it's on Wikipedia, they'll give you that page and you can look at it and so on. You know, so you really want it on the closest one. And so, you know, even if you have a bunch of Echo Dots and shows or whatever around, plus you have the Brilliant Controls, it'll just be one of them that gets to answer your question.
Yeah, that's great. And that's why I have them, you know, I've got two by my front doors. When I come in, maybe I've got keys, groceries, carrying a bag full of stuff, and I don't want to have to grab my phone to turn the lights on. Maybe I haven't programmed things, or I haven't got it selected that it knows I'm coming in the front door or whatever, and I need to add some additional light. It's nice to be able to just touch it and use it like a regular switch, but still have all those controls. So when I say good morning, good night, or movie time or whatever, all the lights controls are working the same way.
Yep. Yeah, and those kind of use cases are really nice for voice. And at the same time, you know, voice will never be the main way that people use the home control, I don't think. Because even if it was perfect, even if it always understood everything that you said and so on, you still need to sort of know what it is that it can do and how to tell it what to do. So there's a little bit of this kind of discoverability issue around it, where, you know, if you walk into a room and there's an Echo sitting on a table and a light bulb overhead, how do you turn on that light? You know, you have to know, I can't answer
that question. What room is that? Yeah, what do you call that light? Yeah.
So there's a little bit of that kind of barrier, whereas when you have that visual interface, you can always just you know, find it. And that's a reason why I think that it's a really good complementary mode of controlling the home. It'll never be the primary. And we're in a kind of unique position because we have both the visual interface and the audio interface. So we see how people use it, and they use the tactile interface 10 times as often as they use voice.
Yeah, I believe it. I fit in that same thing. And there's many times, like this morning, I went walking by and, you know, it's been really sunny the last few days. Over the last month, it's been pretty cloudy. So it was bright. I'm like, oh, front porch light is on. Boom. Turned it off and went, okay, I got to reprogram that for our, make sure that that's hitting the timestamp on the light in the morning. Cause you know, we're in that springtime thing, but at the same point, I'm like, okay, time to do some reprogramming and clean that up a bit too.
At least it's nice to be able to do your own reprogramming on the old-fashioned first generation of home automation. you know, you'd have to have a consultant come out and, you know, pay him $300 an hour just to you know, change a scene here and there. That's one of the things that we really aimed at with Brilliant too. And, you know, it's intrinsically complicated. I can't claim that you can do everything in 30 seconds, but, you know, we make it as simple as we possibly can. We're always refining it. And that's just so key to having this be something that everyone can adopt and everyone can use rather than, you know, only technical experts. That's a big deal.
Yeah, it is a big deal. So what do you guys see coming forward in the future here? I know we're coming into, you know, we're in the getting towards halfway through the year coming up, and you guys always have new stuff coming up. Anything exciting you can talk about yet?
Yeah, boy, that's hard to believe, but you're absolutely right. We are coming on toward that part of the year. Well, we got some really exciting integrations lined up. I don't want to pre-announce them, but there's been a constant stream of those, and then we got more coming out. We're really excited now about making not just smart homes, but smart apartments as well. So we actually have just recently launched a product we call Brilliant Command Center for the multifamily apartment complexes and stuff like that. That lets Brilliant be deployed into scenarios where there are like hundreds of apartments in a building. So that's really exciting. But the other thing is just scaling up. I mean, we've had such a great experience both with consumers and with home builders that, you know, a lot of what we're doing now is just hiring a lot more people to be able to handle all of the accounts and so on. Because we've just seen a lot of new builders signing up, but also then a lot of times if it's a bigger builder, they'll start, you know, in Texas and then they'll go to Arizona and then Southern California and then Northern California and all of these regions, they keep on building new communities and they keep putting Brilliant in all of them. And the thing that's been really rewarding is that we've been made a standard. Almost 100% of the builders that we work with didn't make us an optional add-on. They made us just part of every home that they're selling. And it was really gratifying to see that that's not just happening with million-dollar homes. That's happening with $300,000, $500,000 homes. I think that we're even a standard on one tiny home company that's $180,000.
Nice.
And so, you know, really just, you know, making sure as a company that we're scaling along with the business and able to support all of the demand, because that's huge. In fact,
you know, yeah, so. I've worked with builders for 30 years. And the one thing is, you know, that with builders, if you don't have a quality product that is going to be fairly trouble free with them, you don't get that second opportunity. They go, nope, and walk off. And you guys have that product and that reliability and ease of use that probably makes sense for a lot of builders out there.
Yeah, I mean, what's happening is home buyers want smart tech, because if you're buying a newly constructed home, then you're looking for something modern, you know, and what's modern? Technology is modern. So, you know, people, and increasingly home buyers are millennials, you know, I mean, these are people whose first toy was an iPad, and it just makes sense. You know, of course they want a smart home. So it really resonates with builders, and builders are great to work with. They're a very no nonsense bunch. You know, as you say, like if it works, they're all in. If it doesn't, they don't want to hear about it. And that's refreshing and straightforward. And I think we're building up a lot of reputation in the builder community and a lot of builders that we work with on an ongoing basis. So that's been really exciting.
Yeah, I was talking with a bunch of builders during the, you know, the NHB show on my home tech stage this year. And when I was talking to them, we had this discussion about, okay, light switches are not just where you put them anymore, because now that they're touchscreens and they have cameras and things like that, maybe it doesn't belong where you've traditionally put it. Maybe it needs to be in a more location that you can use that camera, you know. It used to be people would put front doorbells, you know, just wherever. And now you want it where it's getting the best view, not just where you can hit the button and it was easy to wire. So there's some things that I say, maybe two-way switches aren't, your three-way switches aren't the way of the future. Maybe just having the right smart home controls and having those switches in the right location makes a lot more sense.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I think an interesting thing is going to be happening with the home wiring, where, you know, we do, the Brilliant controls do work with the standard three-way configurations and so on. Mm-hmm. But then when you have all smart switches on a circuit, you don't really need that anymore, right? Because you're really only going to have one switch that's dimming the light or turning it off and on and so on. And everyone, all the other switches are just talking to it. So you can actually simplify the home wiring a fair amount if you design it that way from scratch. And at the same time, you know, they may prefer not not to, just because, you know, gives you flexibility if you wire it up conventionally. We'll work with it either way.
Yeah, and I have one of my my two gang brilliant switch that I have by the front door. It's on a, I've got a three way for coming in the garage, you know, into that same hallway. And I almost took that other switch out of there. I just didn't want to do the drywall repair, but I was just like, I'm never going to use this. And I don't, because, you know, it's the brilliant switch is managing it. So I've noticed even in my house that those three way switches are not as important as they used to be.
Yeah, yeah. Well, if you got an extra gang there, one thing you can do is map that slider to like the volume of your Sonos player or the level of your.
Oh, there you go. There you go.
Or a different light altogether. That's one of the things that's nice about smart lighting. The first thing that's important about it is you change your lighting more often than you change anything else. You're turning lights on and off way more often than you're locking doors or changing temperatures or whatever. Yep. But the other thing is that when you have smart lighting all through the house, it's all virtual. So you can remap it if you want to. You can decide, regardless of how it's installed, you can go, you know, I'd rather have a light here, a switch here that controls that light. You just change it in software. You just change a configuration setting and it's controlling a different circuit. And that's a flexibility that I think it's really nice to have, because I think we've all had that situation where like we always wish there was a switch somewhere that there isn't, you know, or there's a switch somewhere we never use and we'd rather use it for something else. So it's nice to have that flexibility.
Absolutely. Aaron, thanks for coming on today. And what's the best place for people to find you to research all the different stuff that you guys do?
Yeah, you know, we're available in all kinds of places, but the most direct way is to go straight to the source is www.brilliant.tech.
Perfect, man. Thanks for spending the time today.
Thank you so much for having me. Good talking.
Thanks for tuning in to Around the House with Eric G today. Heard every single weekend out there. Make sure you catch the podcast on aroundthehouseonline.com. Now, to get a hold of us, head over to aroundthehouseonline.com. You can email me over there or head over to Facebook. We've got Around the House with Eric G, including our closed group, which is Around the House Nation. Join up, share a few photos, and let's see what kind of projects you are working on. That's what's there. And then Clubhouse. I'm on Clubhouse every Thursday. We have a group over there that we've teamed up with, and that's called Around the Home, because we have gone together with another group, the Homeowners Show, and we're having a fun time over there every Thursday morning. So look me up on Clubhouse. I'm Eric G, and for Dane Vodder, you've been listening to Around the House.
Around the House with Eric G is produced by Designed by Eric G in association with Salem Media and distributed nationally by the Sun Broadcast Group. All rights reserved. Copyright Designed by Eric G. We will be back next week. If you missed part of the show, check out the podcast of all of our shows at aroundthehouseonline.com. Remember, measure with a micrometer, mark with caulk, and cut with an axe. Thanks for listening to Around the House.
Hey, it's Eric G from Around the House. Are you planning a decking or siding project this year? If you are, you've got to check out my friends at Millboard. Millboard is a completely different kind of composite decking and cladding that enhances outdoor spaces with enduring distinction. Hand-molded from the finest oak, it realistically mimics the natural grain and color of premium hardwood. If you're looking for something that doesn't look like plastic and instead real wood, check out Millboard.com. Make sure and check out that interview we did just a few weeks back. That's Millboard.com.